always kedai, before you do something, to realize and understand a little bit of what you're doing and why we do things. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tainis that when hard times come over Klal Yisrael, so it's a warning for tshuva, it's a warning for people to return to Hashem, think of their ways. And the Rambam says there's no better way to do this than fasting. The Mishabura in fact brings that in the beginning of Hilchos Tainis, when we talk about fasting, so the Mishabura brings that there are many people that sort of take the toffle and leave out the ikkar. People think that the ikkar is the fasting, that's the main thing of the day, when a fast day comes along. So as long as we don't eat, we're pretty much okay. The Mishabura says that's not the point. That might be a hechatimsa, it might be a way to get a person to think, to do things. But the ikkar of a fast day, says the Mishabura, and he brings rise that we're not going into at this moment, is that the main point of a fast day is to think about where we're holding, what Klal Yisrael is holding, what we can do to make ourselves better. And if a person does that, then he's fulfilled the day of the Tainis in the best possible manner. There's a Megillas Tainis. The Megillas Tainis brings, the Torah brings at the end of Hilchos Tainis as well, that there are 3 days in the beginning of Teves that we know are terrible days for Klal Yisrael. These are the 8th, the 9th, and the 10th of Teves. That's this year. They're going to be, I think, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. Coming up now are the 8th, the 9th, and the 10th of Teves. And in fact, the Torah writes that it's roy, that it's proper, that a person should actually fast all of these 3 days. So really and truly, we should all be fasting on a Sunday this year, Monday, and Tuesday. But however, we're weak, we can't manage, we can only manage one day, and therefore Chazal were kareh to be the 10th day. However, since these 3 days are 3 days that a person has to realize are bad days for Klal Yisrael, like the Rambam says, when a bad day happens to Klal Yisrael, we have to think of where we're holding, we have to do tshuva, we have to try and become better. Therefore, it's important for, I think, that we should know what's going on in these 3 days. I'd like to speak a moment, just a moment before we get to the halachic aspect of a fast day, of what actually took place on these 3 days and why are they so difficult for Klal Yisrael. So on the 8th of Teves, the Torah, as we know, Chazal tell us, was translated into Greek. There was the Megillas Tainis brings this down in a whole Arichus, and he explains that at the moment that the Torah was translated into Greek, the world plunged into darkness. The whole world plunged into 3 days of darkness for 3 days. Chazal tell us even more than that. That the day that the Torah was actually translated into Greek was a day that was similar to the making of the Egel Hazav. And that's very, very chomo. We know Ad HaYom HaZeh, we have some kind of punishment for the Egel Hazav that we're still suffering from. So Chazal are telling us that the day, that was the 8th of Teves, was actually the same as the day that the Egel Hazav was created. Ptolemy, as we know, was a Greek king. He took 72 Gedolei Yisrael and he put them into separate rooms. They couldn't see each other, they couldn't speak to each other. And he told them to translate the Torah. Now this was a very dangerous thing. They each understood on their own that if they're going to be in a separate room and they mess up and they make a slightly different word than their friend, there's going to be what we call, you know, there's going to be something, there's going to be problems for Klal Yisrael. And this happened and it was unbelievable. But every single one of these 72 translated the Torah word for word in exactly what they said. There was no difference between the 72 different Gedolei Yisrael, which was a tremendous nace that happened. The question is, why is it so chomo? Why is it so difficult? The day it was translated into Greek was a day as if the Egel Hazav was made. What is the comparison? Why is it so hard? So there's a few reasons for this. Reason number one is before this stage, if a person wanted to learn Torah, you've got to go to a frumyit, you've got to go to a rav, you've got to go to someone that has a mesorah, someone that has a tradition. You can't just open it up and figure it out on your own. All of a sudden it was translated into Greek, we lost the Torah Shebal Peh Chelek. The Torah Shebal Peh is a tradition, it's a mesorah that's been passed down from generation to generation. From Rebbe to Talmud, from Rebbe to Talmud. And that's how Torah is. And the moment you translate into Greek, you basically lost the mesorah, you lost your tradition. And just like the Egel Hazav was a replacement, so to speak, so too, when the Torah was translated into Greek, it was also some kind of replacement. In fact, the Chasam Sofer brings a different reason. The Chasam Sofer in the Droshes, when he talks about it in Teves, he writes that we all know, we've just come a couple of days after Hanukkah, we've probably heard this many, many times, that Yavon, the whole culture of the Greek culture was about, you know, physical beauty, the physical body, the outside appearance, which is why we always say why on Hanukkah the famous, you know, Indian is to eat latkes and donuts and things that are always fried in oil. What are we busy eating things that are fried in oil? Very simple. Because the Greeks were into their culture, into their personal body, bodybuilding, physical appearance. That was what mattered to them. So in Hanukkah, what do? We eat everything fried in oil, because this way we show we're not interested in our physical appearance. It doesn't bother us, right? We're going against the other, against the Greek culture. So if Yovan says the Chasam Sofer was so into their exterior beauty and physical appearance, and they wanted to uproot Torah Shebal Peh. Now we know, Chazal tell us, we know from the Gemara, anybody that learns, Daf of Gemara knows, that you can take a word, you can take a letter in the Torah, and you can derive halachas and meaning and understanding into everything that we do. Torah Shebal Peh is contained within Torah Shebichsav. That's what it is. We know Rabbi Kiva says the Gemara darshaned from the tagim, from the crowns on top of the Sefer Torah, on top of the letters. He darshaned thousands and thousands of halachas. So in fact, Torah Shebal Peh, our Masorah, why we do things, and in so many halachas that we do, for example, you know, take Tefillin as an example, right? Torah was Bein Einecha, we know doesn't mean between your eyes, Chazal tell us, it means on top, whatever. So we know that Torah Shebal Peh is how we live, but it's contained within Torah Shebichsav. When you translate something, and you take the Torah and you translate it into Greek, you may have the same words, but you're left with the exterior, so to speak, appearance of the Torah. All you have is the actual words, you have what it says, but you don't have the inner depth, you don't have the Torah Shebal Peh. Says the Chasam Sofer, that's why when they translated into Greek, it was such a terrible day. And that took place on the 8th of Teves. We have to understand, Sunday morning comes along, we should take this into consideration, we should take this into account, that's what happened. That was the 8th. What about the 9th? So the Torah, very interesting, Tavkope, the Torah writes down that we actually don't really know what happened on the 9th of Teves. That's what the Torah brings down. Now if you look at the Haggadah, the new Torah, it brings over there from other Rishonim and others, that they say that really the Torah did know, but he didn't want to say. Now, by the way, this is interesting. The Torah said we don't know what happened on the 9th, and yet there were people fasting on the 9th. You would ask someone, why are you fasting on the 9th of Teves? They'll say, I don't know. I have no idea. But that's what they did. They fasted without a reason. The Rishonim, and if you look, for example, in the Slichas that you say on Tuesday morning, on Asar B'Teves, you'll see that one of the reasons actually brought down, which is important now if you look at the Haggadahs of the Torah, is that Yoshi, Osar Ish, or Yoshki, whatever you want to call him, was actually born on that day, which is a whole different subject, why the 25th of December shouldn't really be the 25th of December, and the actual people that go into delve into history realize that the whole thing is a fake and the whole date actually makes no sense, whatever it may be, that's not what we're talking about at this moment of time. But he was born on that day, and we know it was a Sonei Yisrael and a Vaza Talmidei Chachomim, and because of that day was a terrible day for Klal Yisrael, because he was born then, therefore it's another day for us actually to fast. Now, however, if you look in the Snichas, there's another reason. The other reason the Snichas brings down is the Yosad of Ezra HaSofer. Ezra HaSofer, Chazal tell us, was one of the Gedolei Yisrael Mamish. In fact, Chazal tell us that he was right to have the Torah come through him in Har Sinai. Ezra HaSofer was so big that he was basically right to bring Torah in Har Sinai, just like Moshe Rabbeinu. In fact, the Medrash says that if Ezra HaSofer would have lived at the time of Aaron HaKohen, he would have been bigger than Aaron HaKohen. This is Ezra HaSofer. And the Yod said of Ezra HaSofer is on the night. Now, what was Ezra HaSofer? We know the Gemara Baba Kama, the seventh parent, that when Ezra HaSofer came to Eretz Yisrael, so he saw that Klal Yisrael a little bit, sort of everything was easy going. Klal Yisrael with mitzvahs and Torah, things were a little bit too easy. So Ezra HaSofer made takonas and he made gzeiras and he made things to bring up Klal Yisrael's level of observance in Torah and mitzvahs. And therefore, when Ezra HaSofer died, we lost that. We lost that connection. Ezra HaSofer made the connection between Torah Shebal Peh and Torah Shebichsav. He added things in order to strengthen Torah Shebichsav. And therefore, when we lost Ezra HaSofer, we lost that connection. Klal Yisrael fell spiritually. And again, it was a terrible day for Klal Yisrael. That was the 9th. And on the 10th, as we know more famously, that the siege happened in Yerushalayim, and that eventually ended in the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So that's the 10th, that's the 8th, the 9th, and the 10th. In fact, the Torah brings a sheet of the Abu Dram, famous sheet of the Abu Dram that we all know by Asar B'Teves. The Abu Dram writes something unbelievable. He writes that if Asar B'Teves would fall on Shabbos, so just like Yom Kippur is Doich HaShabbos, Hu Hadin, the same thing applies to Asar B'Teves, which is an unbelievable thing. Because we know that Tisha B'Av is, we know, the saddest day of Klal Yisrael's history. It's the saddest day of the Jewish calendar. If it falls on Shabbos, we push it off till Sunday. But Asar B'Teves, which, you know, maybe until now we look at it as being a little bit of a
You know, it's a fast, but nothing major, nothing so bad. In fact, the Rishonim Abu Dram tells us that we actually would theoretically have to fast on Shabbos. It just happens to be that our calendar doesn't allow it. And our calendar doesn't ever allow it to fall on Shabbos. But it's still there. We have to understand, why is it that if Asorah Tevis would fall on Shabbos, we do fast, where the other fast, it would not be the case. So one of the reasons is in Divrei Yomim, the Pasuk says, Be'etzim HaYom HaZeh, has to be dafk on that day, just like Yom Kippur, and therefore Asorah Tevis will be one pshat. There's another pshat as well, and the Ikar pshat I want to give you at the end. Another pshat is, well, if you go through the other Tanaisim, if you go through Shiva Asav HaTamas, and you go through even Tisha B'Av, Tzom Gedalia, the other Tanaisim that you have, L'zeichal of the Churban Abayis, they might have taken place on that day, but nothing bad actually happened on that day. It was a beginning, it was a haschola, it was a start to Klal Yisrael falling, leaving Eretz Yisrael, the Beis HaMikdash eventually being destroyed. But the actual day, nothing on that day was so big that actually happened. But it's a zeichah for the beginning, haschola sapronius, masha'en. When it comes to Asorah B'Teves, the wall was broken, the siege happened, we lost our independence on that particular day of Asorah B'Teves. We lost Klal Yisrael's independence, and that was a day that was worse than the other days. Now I have another reason, we'll bring up some soap in a moment, but I just want to bring a couple of minutes. I want to go through a little bit of the halachas of fasting. It's an interesting thing, many people don't have time to go through the halachas of fasting, so I'd like to mention a few of the more common shailas that come up about fasting. We'll come back to that shaila again of the Avidram from the Chassam Sofer in a moment. First of all, it's interesting. Who has to fast on it? Who has to fast stamp? Where does it come from? So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that Yudches tells us that really, the fasting depends on the matzav of Klal Yisrael. Depends what Klal Yisrael are holding. If Klal Yisrael are holding in a bad matzav, you have to fast. If they're holding in a good matzav, you don't have to fast. Which sounds like it's not something that everybody has to do in every generation. It depends. It depends on the generation. It depends on the situation. However, the Torah brings in Tov Kuf Nun that nowadays Rotsu Venog, who Klal Yisrael makabel on themselves as a chumra, as a tzibur, as a tainus tzibur, and therefore obviously we fast. When it comes to a child, the Be'alocha writes an interesting thing. The Be'alocha says in Tov Kuf Nun that we know that a fast for a child only begins at 12 and 13. 12 for a girl and 13 for a boy. That means there's no inyan of a child fasting extra hours in the morning and trying it out. We don't have such a thing. However, the Mishnah Berurah does bring a Chaya Adam. That the Chaya Adam writes that a child that's old enough to mourn, that means he has to be chinuch of Churban Habayis. Maybe it could be 7, 8 years old, something like that, depending on the child. So then what you should do is don't train him in hours, but only give him to eat what he's necessary for him. He shouldn't eat extra nash, he shouldn't have sweets and all these sorts of things. That's the Mishnah Berurah brings from the Chaya Adam. The Maaser of Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal Paskin that our minhag is not this way. And when it comes to a fast, like Asorah B'Teves, we do not have to train children only to eat one. If you want to do that, that's fine. But our Pi Alocha of Shlomo Zalman said the minhag is not that way and you don't have to do so. Now when it comes to a Chayla, right? Many people, this is a common shayla on Asorah B'Teves. I get a phone call for every 10-20 minutes from Bochum, for people, you know, my throat's a little bit dry. No, say that's the point of the fast, right? You're meant to feel something. It bothers me all the time, I have to say. What can I say? That people call up often when they come to Eretz Yisrael for a visit, and they call up, okay, how do I get out of ripping at the kosel? You know, what would I do? I could be mucking my clothing to somebody else, and if it doesn't belong to me, then I don't have to rip it. And I said to him, listen, I know all the heterim, and you know, say that, maybe they work. But it just bothers me. Like, what are you doing? The last thing we have left of Churban HaBayis, it's a Shulchan Aruch, it's a Mefurash HaLacha. Now, when you go to the coast, you're meant to do Kriya. Okay, maybe it depends if it's Yer Tachnun, not Tachnun, whatever it is. But just why lose the last Zeicha, the last thing that we can do? In fact, Moshe says that an Erev Shabbos, after Chatzos, we don't do Kriya. What's the Pshat? The Pshat is unbelievable. Just like we know on Erev Tisha B'Av, you're not meant to be learning after Chatzos. Why? Because then you come into Tisha B'Av and you sort of, the simcha of the Torah is so unbelievable that you just have so much of simcha on Tisha B'Av. Says with Moshe, it's the same thing. When you rip Kriya the Kosel after Chatzos and Erev Shabbos, you're just going to come into Shabbos with such a tzar. We're so sad about the Chumash. I mean, I talk to myself, but Halavai was holding there when you had me rip Kriya. But at least that. At least when we go to the Beis HaMikdash, we go to the Mokam HaMikdash, we should rip Kriya. But anyways, people like to have Vegetarian, whatever, they asked him, what's the Biskarov? Somebody came to Biskarov and asked him, do I need to fast? He's a choyle. Choyle she'im b'sakon, right? Not dangerous, but he was sick. So Biskarov told him, not you don't have to fast. You're a choyle, you're part of on fasting. Came to Kriyas HaToya, of Shachris, and he wanted an aliyah. He wanted an aliyah. The halacha is, you can only give an aliyah to somebody that's actually fasting. So this fellow decided he's going to be machmeh. I'm going to be machmeh and I'm going to fast. So Biscoff said, don't give him an aliyah. You know why? Because that's not called fasting. That's called not eating. So if a person has a chayla she'im by sakana, doesn't mean a person has to be dangerously ill. Obviously, maybe you have to consult with a doctor or a rov. But if you're a chayla, you absolutely potter from fasting. But if a person simply has a headache, so then it depends how bad the headache is. And again, ask a rov at the time when it comes again, but you do have to know that you could be potter in that case. Medication. If it's bitter, not nice tasting medicine, you can take it obviously by itself. You don't have to take it with anything. If you cannot manage to take it without a little sip of water or something else, you're allowed to take it with a minimal amount of water in order to get the pill down, providing it's not a nice tasting medication. In fact, there's many tshuvas are written. If a person does eat, he does have a heter to eat on a fast day, it should really be done in private. It should not be done in public. It's a tiny tzibur at the end of the day, and we try not to do these things in public. Now, it's interesting. When does the fast actually begin? Aloysa shachar. So where I come from, most times, you've got to get up at 4:30 in the morning. If you want to have that coffee before the day begins, it's quite early to start the day. Whereas here, Ruch Hashem, it's a little bit later than that, right? I think it's, it's around 6:45, Aloysa, something like that? 6:53, thank you very much, right? That's quite late, right? Which means, well, along with the other problems of when to daven before nates and after nates, which we're not going into at this moment of time, what do you do if you need to have that coffee before the start of the day? So before Alois, right, the fast hasn't begun yet. If it hasn't begun before Alois, you're allowed to have that coffee without any problem whatsoever. There is an issue, though. The Shulchan Aruch says that if a person goes to sleep, so once you've slept, you ke'ilu bin mekabel the tainus. So that means if you wake up on Tuesday morning at 6 o'clock in the morning, it's way before Alois, even before half an hour before Alois, the fast hasn't begun yet, but because you slept, that's ki'ilu as you mean makabal the tainus. So you cannot go along and eat or drink anything at that stage. What do you do?
Even if you think the opposite.
Oh, so it works like this. The Shulchan Aruch writes, if you make it tonight before you go to sleep, by Monday night, before everyone goes to sleep, you should make it tonight, right? And you should say, I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning, I'm not being a couple of fast by sleeping, and then I'm allowed to eat, and then I'm allowed to drink. Now, there's a machlokes, you have to say it in the pair, there's have to be machshava, whatever it is, as long as you made it tonight, that's good enough. Now, when it comes to drinking, however, there are more rites that you don't even need it tonight. Because it's such a normal thing for a person to have a drink when he wakes up in the morning, you know, it's kilo aldas king. You don't have to go along and make it tonight in such a case, but however, the poskim do bring down the chatchela, it's still right to make it tonight, even for drinking. Now, I'm not going to go and tell Pi Kabbalah about eating and drinking before davening, because that's a Pi Arizal, Zoya Kodesh, and everything else scary like that. However, la halacha la maisa, you are allowed to eat and drink up until a kezayis, even of mezoinus, you're allowed to have, up until a half an hour before alois. That would mean somewhere around 6:20 or something like that. That'll be around a half an hour before alois. You can have a mezonis at that stage, right? Maybe even more than a kebetz efshah, half an hour before alois. Once it comes to other foods like fruit and vegetables and drinks, you can drink all the way until alois ha shachar. But once again, this is only talking about a case where you made it tonight if you want to eat, or if you want to rely on the ramah when you didn't make it tonight. There's an interesting mice that somebody told me. I think they were on the plane at the time. And he told me they were coming from Eretz Yisrael to England on a tainis, on a fast day. And there were two people traveling together. And it was a fast day, it was difficult, you know, in the sky, your throat's very dry, you feel not well, you're traveling, whatever. So one said to the other, I said, I have to break my fast. I can't continue like this. The other one, you can't just break your fast. You need to ask a rov, you need to get a rabbi's heter, you need to do something. So he started walking up and down the road. Meister Shoya, he walked up and down the road to find, you know, a rabbinical figure. Someone maybe that he can get a heter from. So he comes back and he says to his friend, I found the rabbi. He says, no, what did he say? I don't know, he's sleeping. Okay, let's say that. So he comes back 20 minutes later, right? He says, I can't do this anymore. So he says, all right, go back again, see if he's up. So he goes back again, and he goes back again, he says, no, he's still sleeping. But he comes back, I can't do anything. Third time he goes, he comes back to his seat, tells his friend, okay, I can eat now. Oh, really? What did he tell you? He says, I don't know, but he was eating, so it can't be so bad. That was the mindset of death.
Just one mention, in the Luach, we have two aloises.
Ooh.
There's a 6:12 and a 6:53, so we don't want to, you're online.
This Luach is a 6:12.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, in the Kadassia Luach, there's an Alois Mukdam and an Alois Ashachar.
So I don't know about all the different Alois.
No, just to mention
everyone
online,
should make sure to look at the calendar of the Alois that they...
Ask the Rav.
Ask the local Rav when is Alois that they should keep, because yeah, again, I don't know the calendar. Thank you very much for pointing that out. Beseda.
That was 63.
Okay, everyone should check the calendar and check over there.
Okay.
Let's continue. Touching food, the Prima Godim writes in the Mishnah Zos, Yikot and Tofre should base, that you're not meant to touch food on a fast day, Shaloy Litzoyrich. That means obviously if you're feeding children or giving children food, there's no question whatsoever. But to touch food, Shaloy Litzoyrich, the Prima Godim writes, should not be done. The Mogen Avraham and Tofkuf Membov writes that to actually smell food, that you can be makel, there's no problem with that. Haircuts. Haircuts in the Ika Hadin.
Will the fast day, or can you prepare for after?
You can prepare for after as well. That's a Torah, that's okay, that's fine. But to Shaloy Litzoyrich Klal, whatever that means, for absolutely no necessity whatsoever, that should be avoided. Which is a hard case to find. Haircuts. So Me'ika Hadin, you are allowed to have a haircut on a fast day, but the poskim do bring down it's not the proper thing for a person to do, it's not the proper behavior for a person to be doing on a fast day. Showering. So showering is actually interesting. I'm not going to go through the whole thing now because there's a major machloikus we've shown him about whether or not the tanaisin that we have, including Asorah B'Tavis, actually starts from the night before and includes all of the things that are also on Tisha B'Av also. In fact, there are many Rishonim that hold that just like Tisha B'Av is also and starts the night before and includes bathing and washing and anointing and everything else, and Ninas HaSandal wearing leather shoes, the same thing would apply to Asorah B'Tavis, Tzom Gedalia, and the other ones. Now, the Maisa, we do not paskin like these Rishonim because we paskin, as we mentioned before, that Klal Yisrael Makabel, the Tainis, as a Chumra, really went by, as we mentioned from the Gemara, according to the times of different situations. And therefore, if that's the case, we're only mekabel eating and drinking, and we were only mekabel from the morning. Now, me'ika adin, a shower in hot water is mutter. Me'ika adin, no problem whatsoever. Sfadim lechatchila, take a hot shower without any problem. The minig of Ashkenazim, according to most gedolei achronim and poskim, is to minig of Ashkenazim is to be machmi, and in hot water we don't have a shower. If it's brought down the bach, the elirab, the mekol chaim, the prima godim, the aruch hashulchan, the shalsim, and the mishabura, the Kappa Chaim and others, that the minig of Ashkenazim is not to have a hot shower on a fast day. But again, me'ika adin, it's mutter, the minig is to be machme, and cold water is always mutter. Music. The morning. From the morning. From the morning till the end of the fast. Yeah, not from the night before. Sorry? Before Alois is mutter, but without getting into the shower, having the showers before Alois, which is a shower of shampoo nowadays, but yes, it's okay. Before Alois is no problem. Sorry? With hot water before Alois. The fast hasn't begun yet.
Shaving,
again, it's no, that shaving would not be considered really to be a haircut, so that passion will be okay. It's a haircut that Chazal, that the poskim said a person shouldn't take. Music, also, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch writes, once again, me'ika adin, it's mutter, but on the taneisim that are a zecher for the Chorban Habayis, a person should not really listen to music on a fast day. Dan Fisher brings it down, Evan Yisrael, Avner Yoshba, other tshuvas as well, that it's not the correct conduct for a person to have on a fast day. Washing a person's face and brushing your teeth. So what's the halacha in such a case? The Truma Sadeshin in Tovkuf Samaches brings down that if a person normally washes his face in the morning, are you allowed to do it on a fast day or not? And he writes, on a tiny tzibur, it's not kosher for a person to do so. So the Shulchan Aruch writes the same idea. He doesn't say it's osa, but it's wrong for a person to wash his face in the morning. Now, however, the Mishabura writes, b'mokim tzar, if a person has tzar, he wakes up in the morning and he just can't go to davening and he can't continue the day without washing his face, so then you are allowed to wash your face, including in washing your mouth as well, b'mokim tzar, again. And the Mishabura says to lean over in a way to make sure that you don't swallow any of the water. Mouthwash would be the similar thing. In fact, the Minchas Yitzchak writes in Chelik Dal and Simur Kuftes, brushing your teeth has the same halacha. So once again, a person really shouldn't brush his teeth according to the Chofetz Chaim, but in Minchas Yitzchak writes, b'mokum tzar, if it bothers you, if you can't daven, if you can't speak to people, whatever, then you are allowed to brush your teeth without any problem whatsoever. Again, once again, b'mokum tzar. I just want to end with the Maisa. In fact, it's interesting. Ramosha has a tshuva about eating meat and eating wine the night before a fast. If you're allowed to have meat and wine on the night before a fast, on Monday night when I have a fleishik supper, what would be the halacha? Ramosha says it's mutter. You're absolutely allowed to have a fleishik meal on Monday night, on the night before Asorah B'Tavis. I just want to end with one last thing. And that is the Chassam Sofer that we started. We mentioned a question in the beginning, which I believe is a tremendous Yisoyed. Again, this is something that maybe people know, but like the Mesillas Yeshayahu writes in the Hagdamah, you know, it's not about Chidushim. It's about reminding ourselves constantly of things that we know already, just to put it into our personal lifetime. So the Chassam Sofer writes the answer to the question, how we mentioned, I don't think it answers exactly the question, but this is what they bring down as the answer. The Avodah we mentioned in the beginning says that a Asura Tevis would theoretically fall on Shabbos, we would have to fast. And once again, Tisha B'Av, no. Asura Tevis, yes. What's the Pshat? So Chassam Sofer says something very, very scary. He says something very, very, very scary. He says on Asura Tevis, what's going on in Shomayim? What's happening up there on the day of Asura Tevis? This Tuesday coming up. What is going on in the Beis Din Shalmala? Says the Chassam Sofer, you know what's going on? They're sitting on Asura Tevis and they're going to be deciding. This Golas that Klal Yisrael are in, all the Tzoras that we're having, with no Beis HaMikdash, no Kapara for Aveiros, everything. That all is under the decision of should it continue or should we put an end to it. That decision is actually happening on Asura B'Tevis. Says the Chassam Sofer, that's the reason, maybe, why we have to fast on Asura B'Tevis and falls on Shabbos. The other Taneisim that we have are Taneisim of Zeichel HaChorban, of Tisha B'Av, at Tzim Gedalia. We have to do that because we have to put in our head what it means that we don't have a Chorban HaBayis. But good, if it happens on Shabbos, good, so push it off another day. Do it on Sunday, do it a day earlier, a day later, not the end of the world. When it comes to Asura B'Tevis, says the Chassam Sofer, it has to be done on the day. Because that's the day that the Ribono Shel Olam in Shamayim is deciding that this bitter goddess that we're in with all the sorrows that's going on, should it be ended or should it continue? That's the opportunity. Sorry? It doesn't know it on Shabbos.
Yeah.
Based in Shamallah. Based in Shamallah. Terebim Shamayim, he has answers to that. But Al Kapanim, what we do have to remember is Asura B'Tevis is an opportunity. It's a day that we can have an opportunity to daven, to try and get back. Nobody has to know too much about this. I mean, just for me, it's a little bit, maybe a little bit more closer to home when you walk on the streets by me. You're looking behind your shoulder to make sure no one's walking past you to see what's going on. The day I left, there was a Nebuchadnezzar Pagua going on in the street over there. 11 people had to go to hospital. You know, we're living with this. Klal Yisrael all over the world is living with this, without a question. And Asura B'Tevis is the day that we have Miyuchad specifically for us to daven that there should be an end to this, Mashiach should come. And how can I forget the famous Maisa that the Chofetz Chaim once said, where the Biskurov was asked to become the Rav of Brisk. He didn't want to be the Rav of Brisk. He had enough of being Rabbonim. He wasn't interested. I want to retire. I want to learn. And they told him, there are 30,000 Jews waiting for you to become the Rav of Brisk. And when he heard that, he told his Rebbe, so pack the bags and we're off. There's 30,000 Jews. I can't refuse them. The Chofetz Chaim heard that mice and he's crying and he said, if the Biskurov can't refuse 30,000 Jews, what would happen if a whole Klal Yisrael would the Emes want Mashiach to come and put an end to all the Tzoras and have a Beis HaMikdash, the Ribbono Shel Olam wouldn't be able to refuse. And that's our job. That's something we should remember come Tuesday morning at some point during the day. We should try and make this a reality that this is going on in Shamayim. It's a serious fast. We should take it seriously. And Be'ez Hashem, we should talk about the Shmaya that the fast Be'ez Hashem will be mavatal when Mashiach will come. And here we know me.